The thought that we have on our heart this morning is a continuation somewhat of last Sunday's message. It had to do with envy and jealousy and covetousness. And as the week has gone by, I have had some other thoughts concerning that message. One thing that was said last Sunday was that you and I needed to take heed and beware of these kind of things that can affect us, even though we're saved. It was brought out also in the Sunday school lesson this morning of being envious of the ungodly and their success. These kind of things are human temptations. They're common to man. And we also spoke of them being ugly and shameful. And when we discover that we have felt those kind of feelings, if we're living for the Lord, we will turn and say, "Oh, I feel so ugly and I am so ashamed." We spoke of the degrees of growth in the works of the flesh, going from one step being in the form of a seed, and the germination of it could progress to the next stage and eventually the full-blown fruit of those works of the flesh. We gave the scripture of a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, and how that these kind of things will generally start with only one thought and progress to feelings and then an unchecked temptation. The word envy had from a Latin word meant to look on, and then it becomes a stronghold. As we thought of these terms and thought of envy and jealousy being a sin against or having to do with other individuals, we began to see that there were many other poisons, if you will, poisonous carnal reactions that has to do with other people. They're every one that the Lord brought to my mind anyway, and you may have some that comes to your mind. I did not find one that was beautiful. I did not find anything in these things that I could say was good. So every one of these that are going to be named now would come under the category of being ugly, shameful, disgraceful, if you will. So some of the things that I have in my mind today is unforgiveness. Any of these kind of things can be a temptation to even a child of God.
That's right.
Bitterness. Things happen to us in our life, and we can just have a seed of bitterness. And unless we become very awake and alert to that in the very beginning, it is something that can grow very quickly. It can germinate and grow very quickly. Bitterness is very ugly. Malice is very ugly. I thought about the carnality of the tongue and how that the Lord allowed us to have even a chapter that spoke about the tongue, that it's full of deadly poison, that it is something that cannot be controlled. That is in the natural. And we all have a tongue, and we all have the ability that are here this morning. We have a mind, and we have the ability to speak words. And we have found, probably all of us have experienced from time to time, when we had to go back and apologize for how we spoke our words and what we said. But those are places that can be a stronghold in a person's life. It can be a weakness that the devil takes full advantage of. And it pays you and me to look at it and say, oh, this is ugly. If we look at anything like that and excuse it, it becomes stronger. If we say, oh, this is something that just runs in my family, and I can't help it, God has a better plan for us than saying, I can't help it.
That's right.
So the uncontrolled tongue, let me give you some words that are in the Bible concerning the uncontrolled tongue. It is called backbiting. That is an ugly word, isn't it? To think of what backbiting is, to talk about somebody behind their back, saying things that you would not say to their face, is ugly. Criticizing, judging, condemning, or bearing a false witness, or gossiping, those are all very ugly terms and words. And none of us want to be the recipient of someone else's uncontrolled tongue. We all look on it and we hate it. And if we have some of that in our life, we should feel ugly. We should feel shame. We should feel disgraced, because those are disgraceful things to have characteristics in a person's life. The last one, and certainly not the only one left, is self-exaltation. And I recognize that sometimes we could be misjudged. We can sometimes come across as being confident when in reality we're not. Maybe we're feeling lack of self-confidence in our heart, and yet on the outside it appears otherwise. I've had that happen to me. I had an individual come to me, and I think I've told it here in the congregation before, but they said they wanted to apologize because they felt like I was, I had a superiority complex. And all I could say is, you don't know my battles. We can demonstrate on the outside maybe a confidence, but at the same time on the inside be having a battle, or be having sorrow or grief or something like that. So we don't want to always judge one another by what we see or hear or feel. But I want to say, self-exaltation is ugly. And it is shameful. What comes with that is pride, and the Bible speaks of pride. Speaks about a man who thinks he is something when he is nothing. And the scripture says that that person deceives himself. So I think it's just a little warning to us all to never want to think ourselves something when we're nothing. Being lifted up or feeling superiority, we're not really going to dwell on this through the whole message. We're just bringing out some things to start off with that are very ugly about the carnal life. And there's nothing beautiful about these things. To be arrogant. One other one was anger or temper. It goes back to the uncontrolled tongue, speaking harsh, speaking sharply, having a tone in their voice that portrays a message. You might not be saying wrong words, but the very tone of your voice gives a different message than what maybe the words are saying. So man is born with these carnal tendencies, and it's not beautiful, but we have a better hope. So we start with a scripture in Job 22 and 29, just a little portion of that verse, and it says, there is lifting up. What we have spoken of is a very low, defiling. Nobody's happy. The person that may be portraying these characteristics is really not happy. And the people that they are around, if it's in a family, the family is not happy. When a coworker is demonstrating these kind of mannerisms and characteristics, and I'm going to, did you know, let me say this. Did you know, as the Lord was inspiring me with this, did you know that there was something that was trying to keep me from calling it sin? Have you ever felt that? You know, to identify something and say, this is sin. It's hard to say it because the devil doesn't want us to call it sin. The enemy wants to say, oh, it's a fault. Or it's just like in our world and in our society and in our government, you know, being politically correct and saying it in certain terms so that nobody feels guilty. That's what the enemy tried to do about this. I'm just going to confess that. So anytime that you and I have these things, a temptation of it in our life or a failing in our life, we treat it like it is something that can lead to sin if left unchecked or unrepented of. So I'm not saying that if you happen to have these kind of feelings or these kind of attitudes that you're lost right then. But I am saying that if you don't deal with it and face it honestly, that God will cut you off and cut me off. I'm not pointing a finger at anyone else any more than I am myself. But there is lifting up, and that's what we want to talk about. Even though we are all still in our flesh, we're still human beings of the earth, and we're going to leave here today and go out and deal with life. You're going to go and live life when you leave here today. It's a whole lot different when I go back out and I face my job, I face whatever I'm doing in my family. You have to apply it then when you go out there. And so this thought of being, there is lifting up, it brought another scripture to my mind of what Jesus said. And he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. And so this morning, we've spoken of some very ugly human, carnal traits and characteristics. Ugly. There's nothing pretty about it. And I believe that nearly every person born in this world is born under these carnal things. I mean, it's part of human life. And as they grow up and they begin, whatever influence there is in a person's life, whether it is a family characteristic, and there are family characteristics that are passed on, or just even the example of it growing up, you may even hate something in your family. You may despise the way maybe your family member conducted themselves, and you may say in your heart, I will never do that. I did that. I did that myself. There was something about my family that I hated. And I said, I will never do that. Well, do you know I did it one time? I did it one time. It was so ugly. And as soon as I did it, I said to myself, this many, many years ago, my girls were young. And as soon as I did it, I said, that was the one thing I said I would never do. And I immediately apologized to my daughters. I did it to them. Now, I had my mistakes. I did my things that they might have said, I'll never do that too. These are the kind of things that we want to lift up Jesus about this morning. This is the place that you and I need help in our life, in our homes, on our jobs. Wherever I go today and leave here, I need Jesus to help me to rise above. What was Jesus manifested for? What did he come here? What was his purpose? To destroy the works of the devil.
To seek and save that which was lost.
To seek and save that which is lost. You and I have, we realized we were in a lost condition when we came and repented and got saved. And the Lord delivers a lot of these things with salvation. But there are other things that are strongholds in our life. Some of these things have been in our life a long time, and they're strongholds, and it takes more than just salvation for the power of it to be broken.
Amen.
And we need another power of grace. If you want to say this is about sanctification, I am very, in the last number of, maybe this whole year, I have been more burdened about sanctification and the power of sanctification in your life and my life than ever before. I believe in it more strongly now than I have ever believed it. And I seek after it more every day than I've ever sought for it before. And I believe that the closer that you and I come to the end of our life or the end of time, we're going to feel that need greater to have power in our life. So Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil and to seek and save that which is lost. And he also came to set the captives free. And sometimes these kind of things can be like being in a cage. I can't get out. I can't break this. This thing keeps coming back up. It keeps resurrecting. It keeps coming back into my life. One scripture I'm going to read next is in Romans 1 and 16. And it says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So this word power is the word that has been impressed upon our mind. What is power? Another scripture I want to give to you is in Luke, the 10th chapter. And this is familiar. I know that we've all heard it many times. Well, I just have to read 17 and down through 19 because it's just a doctrine I want to insert here. Not necessarily about what we're preaching, but I think it's good for us to just hear it. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I love to work with this scripture because it is not exactly the devil falling from heaven out of heaven. And I love to study this, and I love to give it as a Bible study. So I just want you to know that this is where it is, and you have to determine what heaven he's falling out of. He's falling out of that place where he had power over me and where he had power over you. And Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy." That's the place that he was fallen from. He had supreme authority in my life and your life. We can only serve one master. Can't serve two masters. You can't live for the Lord and live for the enemy at the same time. After you have given your heart and your life to the Lord, and he is living in you, there is an opposer, which is Satan, that is going about seeking to devour you at all times. He wants you back. But you and I have power over all of the powers of Satan. Thank the Lord. Now, what does this mean here when it says, I will give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions? I don't believe it's literal, do you?
No.
You know what? It could be that scorpion spirit that's in you, that's stinging with stinging words, hurtful words. The Lord wants to give you and me power over our tongue.
Yes.
Over that part of me. I can tread on top of it. Scorpions are stingers. Serpents, what are they? They're full of poison. They bite and they will kill. The scripture says that there's power in my tongue to kill. Well, it doesn't mean you're going to fall down dead. But I can have the power to destroy you in your spirit.
That's right.
With my tongue. And we need to recognize that. And we need to recognize, Lord, I need power here. Because the scripture also says that out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when the heart and the mind are the same, what I think is also in my heart. What the thoughts I allow in my mind is going to affect my heart, which then will come out in my mouth. But he says, I will give you power to tread on these things, to walk on top of them, to subdue them. You have power then over those things in your life, and I do in mine. But it is only this kind of power. It can't. See, I've already testified to you that I said I will never do this in my life that was done in my family. And then I turned around and did it. We can have all good purpose to never do anything wrong. I will never say anything wrong again. I will never, and put whatever you want in there, I'll never do that. You can't keep it. You're going to have a power that is more than what our human can take care of. We can't do it. It's so, I like this promise that he says, I will give you power. Now we know, all of us are familiar with the scripture over in Acts where it says, where Jesus said, I will give you power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So do you see why we need to promote not only Christ in lifting him up, but we need to promote the infilling of the Holy Spirit in our life, that it will rule and reign and control and give us power after he comes into our heart and life. So I want to give you some thought. If you have a definition for power, I'll ask that first. What do you think this kind of power is?
Well,
How would you identify it in our words?
Victory.
Power is victory. What else?
Overcoming.
Power is what? Identify power, this kind of power. What does it do to make you overcome, to make you have the victory? Those are the results. See, now what is the power? What do you think it is? The Holy Spirit is the source. We've got the source now, and we've got the result. What is the power?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. Knowledge can be part of it. Understanding, it can be part of it.
Ability to overcome temptation and spiritual opposition.
It's an ability. Power is given to us, and it is in the form of the ability to exercise control. Now, that sounds like that I'm having a part in it. Am I?
Yes.
We definitely have a part in the working of the Holy Spirit. It can't just be magic. We look at the Holy Spirit and we think, oh, we may. And the Holy Spirit is a lot of things. But I want to say here, if you are not first willing to receive that power and to act on it and to let it work in your life, here's the source. The Holy Spirit is the source. Knowledge was also spoken of. We have to have some kind of understanding and knowledge of the source. Here's the result. The result was victory. The result was overcoming the world. But then where am I in the middle of it? I just automatically do it? I have to seek after it, and I have to be willing to receive it, to that it can give me the ability then to, and this is a definition out of the dictionary, the ability to exercise control. I will not do that thing because I'm strong? No, because the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is helping me. And that's our only source of help. It's our only source. Power is also strength. Power, now I like this definition, and we're going to use this again. Power produces an intended result. I like that one, and we're going to deal with that one. Power is also authority. Now, think about authority. Does God give you and me authority over Satan? Absolutely. But it is an authority that is not of ourselves. And the reason I say that is, I can't remember exactly the place, but There were people that were trying to duplicate what Paul was doing in the Spirit and by the Spirit. They were trying to cast out these spirits, and the spirits rose up and said, Paul, I know, but who are you? So see, the authority is not our authority. The ones that were trying to do it in their own authority, that was just it. They were in their own authority. But Paul was doing it under the authority of the source, which was the Holy Spirit. So it's the same with you and me. We can't say, well, we have authority over you, Satan. We don't have any more authority over Satan than we have of the Holy Spirit. We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then we have authority over Satan. 2 Timothy 1 and 7. I like this one. God hath not given us the spirit of what?
Fear.
But what has he given us? Now let's put in there, because it says a spirit. God hath given us the spirit of what? Power. And of the spirit of love. And the spirit of what? A sound mind. Okay? You know what a sound mind is? What is a sound mind? What would you say in a spirit of a sound mind? What would you say that would be?
Stable.
One-minded. What?
One-minded.
One single-minded. That would be a good one. What else? Sound mind.
Fear of God.
Fear of God.
Able to fully comprehend.
Comprehend. I can comprehend. I'm able to receive. It's a spirit of a sound mind. It could be sound judgment. You and I need sound judgment in order to have, in order to understand, to have the power. It could be strength for self-control. It could be self-discipline. That's all in our mind. See, it all comes into our mind. When we are tempted, where is the temptation first?
Mind.
It's in our mind. We consider the thing in our mind first. If we have a spirit of a sound mind, a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of a sound mind, if we have those things, we can make a right judgment here, because you've got the Spirit of Christ or of the Holy Spirit. It's not just, I'm tempted, and so I'm battling this temptation and I'm resisting it with all that I have. But it's when I analyze and I have a single purpose. I want to do what? Please God above all things. I want to be accepted of Him. I want, one of my favorite songs now, that He is satisfied with me. I can be satisfied with Him, but I want Him to be satisfied with me. That's my single purpose. And so He gives us, He does not give us the spirit of fear, but He gives us the spirit of power and love and a sound mind, that I can make right judgments and choices, and He gives me then the ability. Seek after the wisdom that is above.
And that wisdom is not earthly.
No.
It's not the wisdom of ourselves. Some people feel like they're really wise, but that is not the wisdom at all.
No, it isn't. It's the wisdom that is from above. So it's a sound mind. Now I'm going to refer back to that definition for power as being produced. It produces an intended result. So I want you to keep that in your thoughts right now. And now I want to talk to you about electrical power. You and I have been so spoiled compared to those that went out west in covered wagons and had no electricity. We have been so blessed. And so electrical power, it has a source, doesn't it? And if I walked over and turned on the light switch, I would expect the lights to come on. Or if I would go over and plug in something to a receptacle, then I would expect something to happen to my appliance or whatever I am wanting electricity for. So the reason that you and I don't even stop and think about, well, we stop and think when the power is off. When a storm comes through and all of the power is shut off, how many times do you go over to turn it on and forget there's no power? You do that quite a bit, but when the power is on, we don't have a second thought that there is going to be a result when I switch on the switch, because it is hooked up to a source. So Luke, the sixth chapter, I'm going to be looking at verses 43 and the first part of 44. And this is what it says, and if you'll just bear with me a little bit, you're going to think I am going off on another tangent. Keep the thoughts in your mind about the power of electricity and producing the expected results. Now, this scripture says, a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. So now we're talking about some trees. We've got a good tree and we have a corrupt tree. And the corrupt tree, there is no way that it can produce anything but corrupt fruit because it is corrupt in itself. But the good tree, it cannot produce any corrupt fruit. It can only produce good fruit because the tree is good. Now, do you believe that? I believe that. Now, what about trees that can produce several different kinds of fruit, literally? How did they get a tree that on this side will be pears, and this side will be apples, and this side will be another fruit? How do they do that? They graft. They take a healthy trunk of a tree. They have a method of splicing and causing that branch to be put into that tree, and it will take root in the trunk and it will grow. God's good tree will not produce multi-fruits. He will have only one kind of fruit.
That's right.
Always remember that. The man can do it, but God does not confuse our minds today. He does not confuse the truth of his word and say, well, maybe we could have multi-fruit on this tree. Okay? In our natural state, I've been studying the book, and I recommend it. It is The Holy Spirit and Other Spirits. It's an old book. It was written by D.O. Teasley long before he fell away. And it's a very anointed book. If you want something good to study, I would recommend it. In our natural state, we cannot bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Now, what is the fruit of the Spirit? In one scripture, it says it's in all goodness and righteousness and truth. So, in our natural state, in our humanity, if you will, I cannot bring forth all goodness or righteousness or truth because I would be in the... When it says natural state, it's talking about the carnal state. So it comes down to the grafting. In other words, I feel that this substantiates, if you will, sanctification. Because in my natural state, before I am grafted in, I'm having my failures. But here, now, John 15:1, what did Jesus say? I am the true vine. That's what we need to be grafted into. We need to be the branch. In order to produce the right results, to have the power, I have to be grafted into the true vine. Romans 11 and 16, it says, Paul said, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Who are the branches? The people of God. So if I am grafted in to the vine that is the true vine, it is full of holiness, like the trunk of that tree is a good trunk. So it's all good. And the branches are grafted in. That's the people of God. That's you and me. You and I need to be grafted in individually. I believe this is part of our victory. We have a source now. What is the source? The source is the vine, which is Christ. The source is the true vine. And now here I am. I'm wanting a result of being grafted in. And being grafted in, the result will be what was said later. Earlier, it said it was the victory and it was the overcoming of the world. This is how we will overcome, is to be grafted in. It says, if the root be holy, so are the branches. Isn't that plain? So that's where you and I can gain strength, power, victory, overcoming power, is to be grafted in to Jesus Christ. Now, the definition was to produce the intended results. What's the intended results? Victory. That's the power. Now, we have just a few more scriptures to, and you might think of some yourself. When I am grafted in, that's the only time that I can do what I'm about to read. And it's Romans 6 and 6. And it says something about the old man. Our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Do you see the power of that scripture? Do you see the end result of being grafted in and hooked up to the holy root, that I might be holy? I have no hope. My righteousness without being grafted in is as filthy rags. So these scriptures is after we're grafted in. The next one is Matthew 5 and 29. And that speaks about if your eye offend you, what do? You pluck it out. Well, That's something that I have to do, but I don't have the power unless I'm grafted in and the root is holy. Romans 13 and 14. We just have a couple of more scriptures and then we're finished with the thought that today. 13 and 14. It says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I tell you what, we can purpose all we want. I will never do that. My family did that. I will never do that. And unless I'm grafted in with a power source that is greater than me, I will do that. I'll repeat that same thing. This is where our power is. Our victory is. And then the last one is Romans 8 and 13. And I thank the Lord that he can give us power to be grafted in, and he can give us power then to live a holy life. And the 13th verse says, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through what? Through the Spirit. See, it's not through me. I play a part. I have an action that is determining the end result. I've got the source. I have the end result. But I'm here in the middle. And it is through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. Do what? Mortify. What does it mean to mortify?
Kill.
I have a part to play. Another scripture says that you and I must deny ourselves. To mortify the deeds of the body, and it says after that ye shall live. And there are many, many other scriptures that could be placed in this part. Remember, these kind of things are ugly and shameful. And we may detest ourselves if we see any of that in ourselves. And we may detest it when we see others that demonstrate those kind of things. But the source of our power is the Holy Spirit. I've got my source. I have my end result. And now it's up to me to receive it in my life. Pray for me.